Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord as we lift him up in his rightful place and exalt him and stand before him and behold his glory and feel his presence. And I just can't get enough of that. I don't feel right unless I know I'm doing that. And thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. Good morning, everybody. I wanted to get into the book of Hebrews. So go ahead and get a hold of your Bibles and turn over to chapter 11 of Hebrews. I've heard it been said that if your faith hasn't changed you, it may not have saved you. Think about that. I think for many of you here, I believe you all in many ways, in many instances, really desire to see God move in your life and work in your life. Yet, our attitudes, our actions, our activities seem to often fall short of what we read, what we should look like in God's Word. And I want us all to come together to a place where it all begins for us as Christians. Now, for some who may not be there, maybe you've not started this path, and I give this gospel message often in simple. There's a God. We, because of Adam and Eve's fall, have been separated from him through sin. We've inherited that. There's nothing we could do about it on our own. But because the God that we have is of love, he has provided a way back to that one relationship we've had at once with him in the garden, and it's through Jesus Christ. And what the word says is if we repent of our sinful ways, our working to get right with this God, and we turn by faith to him and embrace the cross, the work of Jesus Christ, we could be reconciled to him. Repent, believe, and be saved. We confess that. You could do that right now. And I want us all to do this in a place where we can understand it's by faith through grace that we can be called children of God. And the place where this transformation starts is in our hearts. And we see in stores, it's just there's an attack on this faith. Stores in the decorative stores, we'll see in the knickknacks, the word faith, believe. And you can put that up in your house, and I have no problems with people who do that. I'm not getting on that. But my question, those inspirational signs, faith, that's great, but faith in what? Faith in what? What does that mean? Is it faith in my strength? How about faith in my intellect? I know some things. Maybe I don't know much, but I'm determined. I got faith in my determination. Or I have faith that really if I sit here still enough and just kind of hold tight and white knuckle it, my circumstances are about to be changing, right? I can have faith in that. Well, no surprise, I want us to understand really there's only one context of faith, and that's faith in God. Let's pray. Father God, I invite you into this part of the portion where your word goes forth. We want to learn how to be better worshipers as we sing those great understandings of who you are. We listen to the names. We want to know you. And I thank you that you can reveal yourself through your scriptures. And so speak, Father. Let us hear from you. And let us be changed by the better for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God has given us his word and he's given us his Holy Spirit to understand his word. Praise God for that. And the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that operate allow us as a congregation to really advance the kingdom. But this faith is foundational. And I want to see maybe a little bit about what the word says about faith. Now, many of us are familiar with this chapter in Hebrews. And I'm pretty much going over the whole chapter, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter, as time may not permit. But as this is the most concentrated teaching in the New Testament on faith, it's good to go at an overview, and that's what I'm going to do here. In this passage of Scripture, often it will, as preachers or teachers, will often speak of the faith of the patriarchs. But there's really two groups of people in this chapter. Verses 1 through 32 deal with this first group. If we look at this just real quick, I'm just going to look at some of the bylines. Verse 4, by faith, Abel. Well, what's this faith? We could go up to verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So this is by faith, Abel. 5, Enoch. We have 7, by faith, Noah. These are some of what we call the patriarchs. By faith in verse 8, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. You go on down, there's 17, Abraham again. Then 20, 21, and 22, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Then another great patriarch there, 23, Moses, by faith. Then we look into a grouping of some we might not even know why they're there. Verse 32, you see Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, all by faith. Well, what did they do? What is this by faith? Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and we all say, amen. Let's try that again. And we all say, amen. That's awesome. But then there's another group. Let's see what this group's about. Verse 35. After women have received their dead raised to life, we hear others were tortured. Ouch. Not accepting deliverance. You mean they had a choice? That they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment, 37. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. Whew. But there's a promise for both of these two groups, and that's going to be in 39. It said, and all of these have obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Okay, so what's going on all here? This is a lot of info. First of all, I want to understand you to understand that that 11:1 of faith, it's an action word. Faith is an action word. Let me prove it to you. Look throughout the chapters as those people I said, as you see in verse 4, by faith Abel, he offered. If you look at Noah, if you read down, he prepared. By faith, Abraham in verse 8, obeyed. You're seeing actions. There's things being done. And so these actions are the verb that faith is. Faith is manifested in action. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. What really separates truly saved believers from the demonic belief, because we remember in scripture tells us that even the demons believe and tremble. Well, if they believe, what's the difference between them and my belief? Well, we received. They didn't receive. See, I don't tremble in my faith of fear. Reverence, maybe. But not fear of torment, because in Christ I have life. That's faith. And understanding the best definition I have ever heard, and I have taught this for a while because it was taught to me. Faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it, action, no matter how you feel, because God promises a good result. Let me get that again. Faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. That's awesome. Faith is the action of belief. Let me illustrate this in another attribute of God. The Bible tells us God is love. Okay, we understand there's some different definitions of God and this love thing. There's agape, eros, phileo. There's a different understanding. He's the agape love. Okay, you before me, the sacrificial love. But what does that mean? How does that work? God is love. Well, it's an action manifested through mercy. Mercy. What a beautiful word. Mercy is love in action. God is love. Mercy is love in action. What does that mean in the Bible, Bill? It means that God is love. Jesus is the mercy. That was the action of his love. He didn't just sit up there and say, I'm loving you, like husbands who love their wives but really don't listen and do the things that they hear their wives saying. I think we have all fallen into that. He is the perfect husband to us. He sent his only son to die in his love. The action of love is mercy. And so the action of belief is faith. Belief in action. James 2:14 says, faith without works is dead. I can't just sit around with my faith and call it God faith. Now let's look at these two groups of people. The faith understood here now. Two groups of people. We have the first group. Pretty much a lot of them. They offered, they saved their households. Abraham starts a nation. Moses leads a great exodus. They see the walls fall. They have the valiant there. Battles won. That's number 34. Saw the dead raised. These women must have been ecstatic in 35. But the second group, a little different wordings there. We have tortured and mocked. We have scourged and afflicted, tormented, stoned, sawn in two. But they both had something in common. You see, they believed the word of God, and they risked everything for it. Everything was on the table. And if that's true for both, what group would you want to be in? Of course, the first group, right? I want the whole winning the wars and raising the dead and the power of God manifested in victory. But the life of faith requires, turn to your neighbor, say requires. The life of faith requires confidence in a God you cannot see and in promises you don't always feel. Loved ones, feelings are a wonderful blessing of God, but they're the caboose of the train of life. You never want your feelings being the locomotive heading you down the track. They're a blessing. They help us to understand. But Jesus Christ and the faith I hold in his promises are what I go forward. Hebrews 11:1 says, the evidence and the substance is my faith. It's not blind. Not a definition, a description of faith. See, the first group received great deliverance and victory. The second group died with no earthly validity to their ministries. And it's not uncommon for us believers who, like the second group, have to stand alone at times. Have to be put out there in the desert, in the mountains, in the caves of life. But if you require earthly validation for your faith, then you're not going to make it. You are not strong enough to make it with the horizontal coming up and giving an attaboy for your faith. It's through Christ's promises and his fulfillment of his promises. And can you risk it all in your faith for the invisible? For the things you can't see right now? Let's dig into how we can manifest or activate our faith. Write this down. Obey what God says. I can activate my faith by obeying what God says. Hebrews 11:8 says it right there. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He didn't understand this whole covenant thing with this God he barely knew. He didn't know him personally. He was just speaking to this voice that was so powerful. He knew something was going on here. It was by faith. And so many of us look to figure out how close we can get to the edge of disobedience. I don't always like this obeying thing, Pastor. I don't always think that it's really for me. What if I just do this? Is it really sin? Oh, Eve, did God really say? I want us to be very careful here, though. Because in dealing with obedience, we often have maturity levels within a group like this are different levels. And our obedience and disobedience, either or, can be detrimental to our faith. You see, let us remember the Pharisees and the rebukes they got from Jesus. They got stronger rebukes than the Samaritans did. They were obedient, but no heart, cold. So the disobedience or the obedience, it's the heart. And the Bible has a lot of things that we are not supposed to do. And so I could get carried away with the filthy five and the dirty dozen. I don't do those things. Look at me. God doesn't call that faith either. But this is for our good, he tells us to not do these things. See, when God says don't do this, he's not trying to keep you from something fun or exciting. When he's saying don't, he says don't hurt yourself. That's what the obedience of, oh, I know my father and he cares for me, so I want to listen to what he's saying. It's not up to us to try to figure out where God is morally right or not. We don't need to agree with him. Some say, I believe the Bible, I love God, I just don't agree with all that he's saying in it. Well, if you need to agree with God before you obey him, then I have to give to you, you might not understand who God really is. I don't have to come to an understanding of agreement. I have to come to an understanding of submission. He already did everything to show me he's good. He obeyed. Why won't I? And so faith is acting out in the obedience of God. Number one. Number two, faith is acting out in perseverance. Perseverance. Look at Joseph in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Joseph was in Israel when he died. I'm sorry, Egypt when he died. But he knew his home was Israel. And so when he went to the grave, he had already the understanding and the faith to know, I'm going to get home someday. He did not give up when his brothers sold him into slavery. I'm giving up on that Israel thing. He didn't give up when he was thrown into prison, falsely accused. Man, this God thing's not really working for me. Or how about when he was forgotten and sat there for another 2-3 years? Man, nobody's listening. You see, it's the darkest time that his hope could have been wavering, but it's his faith that he stood strong on. It was substantive. It had meat to it. It was acting out in the hardest of times. Now, I've been in ministry long enough to know that many souls, even in a room like this, are in some pretty dark hours. And I want us to understand, I call to you today, don't lose hope, loved one. Don't lose the faith. The sunrise is coming tomorrow. There are new days are coming. His mercies are new tomorrow. Your spouse may not come back right now, but I don't know what the future holds, but I have hope in him who is your spouse right now. Your finances are upside down, but I know your provider, and he says he will give you the needs of your body. And you can still find joy that God can turn it around. Keep the faith. Really, your response to the hardest trials are the levels of your faith being acted out and shown to the world. Understand that this season of waiting for the answer is exactly where God wants you. Persevere. Don't give up. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. How about another one? Psalm 62:1, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Let me go a little further. This is a little outside the sermon, but I'm going to give this to you because the second part of that is wonderful. Sorry. You don't mind this, do you? Psalm 62:2. I'm going to show you I'm reading it. I don't have it memorized. Psalm 62:2, let me read the one. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He is my rock only, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. That just adds a little oomph to that. Thank you, Lord. Your faith can mount up in the promises of God. Faith is the action, and sometimes that action is just sitting back and waiting patiently, quietly, focused on what he's doing. Those are hard times, but they're good times. Wait with hope. So we got obedience. We have faith acting out in perseverance. How about number three here? Faith is acted out in courage. Courage. I spoke a little bit about this on Wednesday. Courage. Jesus was our example of courage, meeting the hard things and going to it face to face and taking them on. If anyone wants to make Jesus out to be a girly type man, just look at what he did in the temple when he overturned the money changers. Any man that wants to go toe-to-toe with a group of 30 to 60 men who make their living off of money, he wasn't any kind of a womanly man. He was a manly man, and I worship him for his courage. Look at Moses. He's another example. Moses being a picture of Jesus. It says in 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. He goes on, as he goes to 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. He was born into this Egypt, but I'm not going to stay there. What Egypt were you born into? What are you carrying along as some birthright that's not your birthright? You've been born again in Christ if you're a new creation, amen? Whatever that was that's holding you, your Egypt is gone. And Moses was willing to leave it all behind, comforts that would have pleased his flesh. He was relying on God to provide and guide him to speak up when he couldn't speak. And for some here, God may be asking you to take a different direction in your life. And I don't know if I got the idea of how that's going to work out, Pastor Bill or God or whoever you want to speak to. It's your heart speaking. Let it be in tune with the Spirit and let the Spirit talk to you. Patiently wait and listen. You're going to have to maybe make up your mind to rely on Him. You're going to have to be able to get out of your comfort zone. Maybe you're in a situation that puts you at a risk of being hurt emotionally, relationally. If I say this, if I do this, a lot of people are going to get upset. Do you have enough faith to overcome your fear and step into the sea of joy and happiness of the Lord? Faith involves action that's bold. You see, oftentimes we get into this rut. We get into what I call maintenance faith. I'm just going to maintain where I'm at. I'm going to hit cruise control, and I'm going to gloss on into the gates, and it'll all be good. Maintenance faith takes little effort and it goes nowhere. But kingdom faith takes courage and sacrifice and reaches to eternity. That's the faith I want. God help us. Remember, God always deserves the first and the best. And the level of faith that you have is really best shown in life and death situations. And that's what they were all going through here in the second group. And when our lives are harder and the loved ones that we have are going away, are we going to stand firm? Are we going to say, no, I have this God. I'm going to love them, but I'm going to stand firm on my convictions. Be sold out for God. So faith's in action when we are obedient, when we persevere, and when we have courage. I want to leave you all with one more point, and it's in regards to the faith here. The Bible says that we have something better. And I'm pointing this out in verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better, underline that, for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That something better gives us a reason and a hope that these saints of the Old Testament did not have. The saints of the Old Testament were saved by faith. The same thing, that did not change. It never has. But their faith was acted out in the ordinances of the law. And all the blood in that sacrificial system, all the animals that were slain on that altar that were the atonement for them, never forgave one sin. It was never forgiven. In fact, go up a couple of verses in Hebrews 10:4. It says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And in fact, in one verse earlier, 10:3, it says those sacrifices were actually a reminder of their sins every year. We don't walk in that condemnation. That's why Romans 8 says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. They all knew this system. I was condemned every Yom Kippur, every Day of Atonement. I go there holding these sins. But Jesus came as something better. You don't carry that. He said, cast your burdens on me. That's the God we serve manifested in His Son. And that's such good news. The Old Testament is all a picture of Jesus Christ, every bit of it. And we have a reason to not only come by faith and believe, but to be reborn new. This isn't a better as something, it's improvement. It's totally new. And we live in this, and it's because of Jesus. We're new creatures in Christ. And we can see the love of God acted out in the cross, and we can see the fulfillment of God at Calvary. and the completed work that we no longer have to strive to make to Jerusalem with an animal that didn't even do the work we need. We can see how trustworthy God's provision is when he rose from the dead. Do you know that cross means nothing without the resurrection? So Paul tells us, the resurrection is the power. And so it's when we live in the power of Jesus Christ and focus our eyes on him alone that we realize your situation's not hopeless. Your faith isn't in vain. He gives you all things freely. He already has given you everything according to his riches and glory. And his plan is different than yours. If you're temporal, his is eternal. Get on his page. He's worthy of the full trust and belief of our full faith in action. Can you trust Jesus? Of course you can. You can trust him to deal with that hidden sin issue that plagues you as you come in full of guilt that Satan torments you with. He can break those chains, you know. You repent of that. He will take down those walls that you've built up. How about trusting him in that relationship that's falling apart? He does know about brotherly love. He knows about being a son. Can you trust him with that health issue that's been diagnosed by a doctor who may not even know of God? He's your physician. He's your healer. Just make sure, let's have our servers come up. Make sure when we look at Jesus that we measure his compassion by the cross and his power by the resurrection. We're going to take communion here. We're going to have Robbie and Christina come up and we're going